this theory that is what's referred to as the hero's tale. Have you heard of this idea that in all novels, great movies, that there's this idea of this returning back to the, like, you kind of, there'll always be a moment at the beginning, not at the very beginning, but there'll be a, so the movie starts, la 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 la, and then there'll be a moment where it really starts, right? Where you kind of, like, you get, like, hooked in, where you know that there is a conflict or a problem that needs to be solved. And, you know, if it's like a romantic movie, it's often like, oh, you want them to be together, but something happens and they're not together. And it's them getting back together. That's the easiest one to give a description of. But this idea that this is the case for all kinds of great art, right? This resolution, this returning back. Well, I've got this theory that is really what yoga is helping us to do individually, and that what life does actually, whether you say it's to us or for us, is that we start completely whole and blissful, and, you know, talking about little babies. Look at little baby, just beautiful. You know, they are very much in the no-thing state, right? They have no kind of object permanence. This kind of blissful state was all of us. We were all born like that, right? And then, ta-da! That was the la-la-la part. And then it changed. And for all different reasons. It could be, you know, like, to do with the environment we were in. It could have been to do with the... you know, so it could be like, basically I think of it as almost like different volumes. For some, my friend is a psychologist and, you know, teaches people with who've suffered trauma, some it's like super elevated volume, like very, very, very high volume. And but for others, it may have been pretty much like, you know, everything was pretty easy, la la la, except that the general conditioning of the world has had an effect. And that may be less of a volume, but it still has served to mean that we can lose touch with our sense of wholeness, with our holiness, with our sacredness, with our completeness. And you know what I mean, because even though this sounds weird, I know, so far possibly, but I think you know what I mean, because you know how have you ever heard anyone saying something like, oh, I'm just not feeling myself? You know, they're not, do you know how people say things like that? That kind of awareness of not being like, oh, I need to get centered. I'm feeling all over the place. I need to get centered, kind of thing, right? So it's kind of already in our, I mean, that's maybe, I don't know, what brought you to yoga. For some people, that could be what brought them to yoga. For some people, it's because they want to get a hot bath. I don't know. I don't know what brings us there, right? But even like, why do we even want that? Do you see? Because when you're a baby, wasn't even an issue, you see? So this Krishnamurti was a great sage. He talked about this idea of like conditioning and how we have been conditioned in our lives in different ways. And like an example of that is, if anybody ever remembered being at school and just come on in, sweetheart. Come on in, sweetheart. You can. Natalie's going to help you, darling. Natalie, help you. Yeah. If you ever remembered being at school and just trying to you know, you had an exam and you just really wanted to, you know, like, you were just, what was in the exam? All you cared about was what was in it, so you studied that. Anyone ever remember doing that? Right? In fact, some of you guys at uni probably are still doing that. Right? So that can be like a large period of our life. You know, for someone who's, you know, say 25 and they've been, and they're at uni, maybe they're doing honours or masters or something, they've had like most of their life with that model of the idea of like studying to get a mark, to get a result, rather than studying for the joy of the studying. You know, anyone here who's a parent of adolescents, you know, just try talking to them about studying for the joy of studying. See how that goes down. You know, like we right? So you get what I mean, how we sometimes haven't really maybe been fully aware, but we have in many ways been kind of conditioned, if you like. And another example of that is like, if you've ever felt that kind of, if I do this, then I'll get that. You know, which, by the way, that's kind of like the idea of a hypothesis, like a scientific model. There's a whole, I'm not saying it's wrong to do that. It's just that if we're doing that in our relationships, it really sets us up for suffering, right? Because if we're only doing things for the result we can get and we don't get the result that we want, which, by the way, do you ever not get the result you want? Right? Common issue, right? If you feel like your happiness is tied to that, well, then you're going to be unhappy. So that's why this understanding in yoga of returning to that wholeness, which is beyond all that, which is never in that, well, after all I've done for you, right? It's never in, like, if you think like a little baby's like, never like, do I look good in this, right? It's this pure being is natural for us, but along the way we may have lost touch with that, right? And so this the practice of yoga is giving us all these different techniques, because really you can think of yoga meaning connection. Another way of thinking of it is homeostasis, which is like maintaining stability, this stability in yourself, right? So although often we think we don't even need a translation of yoga, because if it's an English word, sometimes it helps to kind of actually think, well, what am I even doing this for? Like, what's the point of this? Why is it helpful? And it's to help you to get into the state that is your truth. Satchitananda is a mantra, that the truth of your being is bliss. And we have practices that are helping to return us to that. It's like this idea you can actually love yourself back to wholeness. So Kapalabhati, remember when I was talking about that? Kapalabhati is a practice that's said to help to burn away all of those patterns. And we don't, and you know, by the way, this idea in yoga is that there's conscious, subconscious, and unconscious. So right down low in the belly, there's no grey matter, but you have grey matter in your spine, and obviously like a lot of grey matter in the brain. And so this idea that it's challenging, like by definition, you know, like conscious of the unconscious, you know, like generally you're not going to be conscious of the unconscious, right? Generally you don't know what you don't know. That's, you know, the thing is that yoga recognizes is that you can actually tap into the unconscious, so you can bring a light there, which is a pretty beautiful idea, really. So when we do this practice, we do forceful exhales, passive inhales, and then once we're up to 27, we're going to hold the breath in. If you're pregnant, you're going to do Nadi Shodhana instead, you know, the alternate breathing, or you could just put your hands onto your baby and say, I love you. Okay, so either, right? So anyone who doesn't want to do Kapalabhati, obviously don't have to, but I just want to explain it to you. If you're new to it, you may just do, say, 9, and then, but it's probably going to be fine for you to do 27, okay? So it's forceful exhale, so, and then the breath just comes in. So by pulling the lower abdomen to the back, so like that, I'm forcing the breath out, and then the breath just naturally comes in. Possibly going to go to 27 times. Then we're going to breathe in fully. Because you've just done all of that, it's really, really, really easy to breathe in. And you can hold the breath in for quite a long period of time. And you're going to picture a ball of light in this area of this, in front of the sacrum, which is relating to the unconscious. So bringing light and imagining this light like the force of 1,000 suns. It's quite dramatic. Light. Right, you're going to imagine that. At the base of the torso, in front of the sacrum, that sacred bone that we all have, and just for as long as it's comfortable for you to hold the breath in. And at that point, we're going to practice Jalantarabandha, so like that, right? So your sternum comes up, your chin goes in, and you know, the yogis, it's phenomenal, right? Because this practice is having an effect on your parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system. It's helping you to become alert and calm. Which I think for a lot of us, that is something we aspire to in our awake time, don't you reckon? You want to be alert and calm, don't you, when you're awake? And you also want to be able to rest deeply and go to sleep when it's sleep time, right? So this is a beautiful practice of basically getting you adept at igniting that state for yourself. holding the breath in. It's called Jhalantarabandha, it's like a lid on the pot. I'm going to guide you through it. You're going to picture the ball of light at the right in front of where your sacrum is, right down in your lower back. And then you're going to like lift the chin back to neutral. And this is the idea of taking the lid off the pot. I just love the image of, you know, like when you actually have a saucepan and you're cooking and you've got like stuff cooking away, and then you take the lid off and the steam rises, right? So you're actually going to imagine that ball of light going up because you've taken the lid off the pot past the crown of the head. And this is this idea of actually burning away any patterns that don't serve you, that maybe we just, you know, talking about like children, like when you, anyone here look after little children, it's really quite fascinating how they can really believe something that isn't the case, right? You know, like my, you know, I have around little children a fair bit. I remember my little daughter saying to me, "You just always want me to be hot." I remember that so distinctly because she was so upset that I was wanting her to wear her jacket when it was warm and freezing. And I'm like, thank goodness she told me that, but she really believed that. And I often think to myself, like, what? I wonder what I believed that was just rubbish when I was a kid, right? All of us. Don't get me wrong. Also, maybe there were things that were very difficult. So I'm not saying that. I'm just was making a joke about that. Sometimes it's very good to realize that here we are now. Isn't it great? And if we don't feel like it's great, it may be because we're still, without meaning to, holding the weight of other stuff that we just don't need. And kind of like, you know, you take the lid off the pot. It's in the process of the cooking. Kind of the idea for you, okay? So this idea of like burning away, you know, like in the olden days when people had incinerators and they put everything on to burn, right? So this concept of like you're burning away what you don't need, if you want to. I mean, I always figure that even if I think that there isn't anything that I need to burn away, there probably is, because I probably am unconscious of it. You know that thing about the blind spot, like ask someone in your family. Anything you reckon would be good for me to burn away? I reckon my kids will always give me something. So, you know, that's what I mean. There's a possibility of it. So it's going to, as you exhale, you burn away. It's beautiful. You sit in that for a period of time comfortably where there's kind of like no breath. And when we go to the space of no breath, that's a moment of samadhi. You'll naturally be in the space between your thoughts. And we're going to do this for 4 cycles, if that's okay. Okay? So remember, you might want to just practice alternate nostril instead, or just bringing your hands onto your belly and feel the breath down into your belly and imagine the breath's going all the way down. Okay, so whichever you prefer. We'll start off with your back of your hands like this in Ninana Mudra. That's where we're going to end up. But when we're practicing the Kapalabhati, it's good to turn your palms down and press into your legs. And you want to keep your arms still. You want to, as if you're squeezing books under your armpits. Keep your whole body still, and just your belly is going to move. So you do not like this. You don't want to be moving the chest. You want to hold the chest still, the shoulders still, the legs still, and just the lower abdomen. You see? I mean, obviously your diaphragm is going to move. But, okay, is that good? Ready, set. Okay, let's begin. So you're going to really pull the lower abdomen back each time you exhale. And you're just letting the in-breath come in. You just allow it to come in. And you're really like supercharging the abdominal muscles. Once you've got to 27, then breathe fully in as much as you can and bring your chin to your chest. Sometimes you don't even find you can have another in-breath. You're just holding. Sternum has lifted, Jhalantarabandha, lid on the pot. Picture the ball of light, 1,000 suns bright. Imagine it right down at the base of the spine, in front of the sacrum. When you need to breathe out, so you may even want to hold longer, but when you, like breathing out, just gently release the chin lock, like you're taking the lid off the pot, and visualize ball of light moving upwards past the crown of the head. And just sitting, perhaps noticing the effects of this practice. You may feel like a tingling. If you need to make any adjustments, do so. If you want to even sit on your knees or put your legs out, then please do. Just do what suits you. So you're just going to be very nice and comfy. And when you're ready, we'll practice another cycle. So press off your hands on your legs, so your palms are down. You begin when you're ready. Remember, keep your legs still, your pelvis still, your arms still, your lips are sealed. And see if you can really keep your chest still. And you just try, imagine you're pulling your lower abdomen to your back. And you're counting up to 27 breaths, or less if you need. And once you've got to 27, then breathe all the way in. Bring your chin towards your chest. Sometimes you feel like you could even have a little more air in, and you're holding steady, picturing this pure ball of light, pure white light. Lips are sealed, forehead's relaxed. Concentration. And when you need to exhale, let your chin lock release, the lid off the pot. Picture that. Releasing from the unconscious, burning away any patterns that don't serve us. It's kind of like a spring cleaning on the inside. And you may find that your breath just naturally, it's very quiet, gentle. Perhaps there's even a stillness in you. Experience of samadhi, of the space between the thoughts and the space between the breaths. So begin again another cycle when you're ready. Remember, you want to really press into your feet, engage mulabandha so you feel a securing to the ground. And begin. You can think of like trying to get the breath really strongly out of your two nostrils, both nostrils. My friend once said, you know, imagine if you had a fly in your nose, what you would do. Once you get to the in-breath, holding, sternum lifts, chin, you can even think of bringing your chin slightly back, like you really kind of clunk the lid on the pot, holding. Concentrating on that visual in front of the sacrum, ball of light. And you may just want to hold longer, so please do guide yourself. I'm just giving some estimates. If you're ready to exhale, then release the chin lock as you visualize that. Moving up past the crown of the head. Staying very still, steady, quiet. Feeling the prana inside you. This is a pranayama technique, which is understanding that we have the capacity to harness the prana, the electricity in the environment that is in you. It's carried on your breath. Preparing for the final cycle now. Press into your feet so that you can get a feeling of pelvic floor lifting, which is called mulabandha. Remember, hold your arms firm, your chest firm. Begin when you're ready. Ready to breathe in at 27, feel right up. Chin lock, which is called Jalantarabandha, keep Mulabandha. holding. Perhaps you can even let your sternum lift a little higher, which means you're kind of releasing down around the area of the xiphoid process. So your sternum lifts very high, picturing the ball of light. And when you're ready to exhale, just exhale in. Just feeling that kind of shining. This Kapalabhati is referred to as shining skull. Like allowing this kind of tingling radiance in your skin of your face and your scalp. This kind of sense of light, freedom. No thing. Bring your palms together at your chest in Anjali Mudra, so your palms are touching. And then just set to your intention. It's a powerful practice for helping you to be intentional. Focused. We'll join together for one Om.